Blog Talk Radio.
When you're little, you just want to do everything. Amen. And that's when the pride of life kicks in. I don't know if that's true in every case, but I think there's certainly some validity to that statement. Amen. But the pride of life. Good night. Why should we have any pride of life? Did we get this life on our own? Did we give it to ourselves? No, we didn't. God gave it to us. How can we have any pride of life? Amen. And so let's turn on. He said the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. It comes from the Father of this world, not the Father of lights. It comes from Satan. Now, first, let me just read these other two, and we'll get into the message. 1 Timothy 3:6, the Bible Paul talking to Timothy, and he's recommending what it takes for a man to be a pastor. And he cautions them, and he says, not a novice. Don't get a beginner. Don't get somebody in the pulpit to pastor a church that's a beginner. He says, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. I've seen it happen. You get a young man who's just freshly surrendered to preach, and he'll begin to preach and just give him a little time, and pretty soon he gets some confidence about himself, and then he thinks he knows everything. Brother Mark Wheeler told me, he said, every Baptist preacher in America ought to step out of bed every morning, look themselves in the mirror, and say, I could be wrong. Amen. Start their day that way. It would help every one of them. Amen. I heard another preacher say that preachers are like wasps. They're the biggest they're ever going to be right after they hatch. Amen? Amen. And I believe there's some truth in that too. Amen. But listen, we got to be careful that we don't get full of pride and think we're something we're not. Amen? And then we look at Proverbs 16:18. The Bible says, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Amen? If you own the road of pride, guess what's down there a little ways? Destruction. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Our Heavenly Father, help us the next few moments, Lord, to be a blessing. Lord, I know some of these things cut and they hurt and we don't like the way it feels, but that's the Holy Spirit, Lord. We know that working in our hearts. And Lord, I just pray that Lord, that you would cut to the heart of the matter. Lord, you would deal with us according to our sins and Lord, and make us aware of it. Make us, Lord, not judge us according to our sins, but Lord, deal with us after our sins. And Holy Ghost of God, bring us to a point of repentance, Lord, to bring this to you and throw it down as vileness that we don't want in our life anymore, because we know it offends thee. Lord, we know it hurts the cause of Christ. Lord, we know it makes a bad image, Lord, in other people's minds of what a Christian is to be. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, that we would please, Lord, listen this morning. Father, that you would open our understanding, that you would focus us keenly on the Word of God and help us. Help this preacher this morning. I need you. I put myself in your hands and I ask for Holy Ghost unction and power. Speak through these lips, Lord. Use me for your honor and glory. And I'll be careful to give you the praise because I know it's thee. Lord, I know it's not me. You do what you do. And Lord, I'll be thankful and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Somebody said that pride is like shooting off fireworks on the 4th of July. Y'all know them rockets you get. You go out there, any of these fireworks places, and you get them rockets with the red sticks about that long. Got a big old rocket on it. I mean, it's all painted up pretty. But, you know, you stick that thing in a PVC pipe or something. You light it, man, and you shoot it. Takes off, man, sparks flying. Everybody goes, whoo. All of a sudden, the sky is lit up, and everybody goes, "Woo!" That's the way pride is. But you know what happens just instantly after that happens? All that big show, boom, is over, and darkness overwhelms where the brightness was, and a empty, spent, charred shell tumbles to earth, and nobody cares. Amen. That's the way pride is. It's all for show. And nothing's left over. Amen? Somebody said that there's four different kinds of pride. And I'm going to share them with you. Amen? I could make a whole sermon out of a lot of this stuff, but for sake of time, I'm going to try my best to rein it in. But there's four different kinds of pride. There's pride of face, pride of race, pride of place, and pride of grace. I said there's pride of face, and I'll give you some examples of that. I thought on these for quite a while as I was putting this together. Pride of face. Here's a statement. Let me give you some statements that would go along with pride of face. I refuse to let anybody see that I have flaws. That's pride. You know, I don't want anybody to know that I make mistakes. I have to cover my tracks. I have to do everything because I'm prideful. I don't want anybody to see me mess up. It would embarrass me so bad for anybody to know that I have flaws and faults. There are people like that who fight tooth and nail to maintain a false image of themselves. You understand what I'm saying? Pride of face, putting on an appearance that is not real. Then there's pride of face, which I think's this one. It says, I'm better looking than you are. And they sit there and mirror, mirror on the wall. Who's the fairest of them all? Amen. I don't do that. I got way too much ugly to ever think about that. Amen. I might look at where it used to be, but it ain't there no more. Amen. If it ever was. But praise God. Listen, some people are like that. I hope ain't nobody in here this morning like that. But I'm telling you, there's lots of people like that. And they're so full of themselves and their looks. I mean, this world promotes that. This world promotes that. This world's telling you a lie. They're telling you that you can only be pretty if you're their kind of pretty. But I'm going to tell you something. God's kind of pretty is prettier than the world's kind of pretty. Any day of the week. Amen? A righteous young lady with modesty is so much more attractive than Miley Cyrus and all the floozies like her. Amen? Praise God. Pride of face. Well, I think, you know what I think fits in there? I think redneck fits in there, too. That, what are you looking at? You looking at me? You on something? Huh? That's pride of face, man. Somebody looked at me wrong. How dare they look at me wrong? Hey, I'll go and tear a mud hole, stomp a mud hole in you, boy. Hey, that's pride of face. You know what that is? That's insecurity. Amen? That's insecurity and covering up for it with, I'm bad and tough now. You better look out for me. Pride of face. And then there's, well, I'm the best at what I do. Hey, I'm the best. Ain't nobody better than me. I can do what I do better than anybody. That's pride of face. Well, then we said there's pride of race. There's pride of race. Hey, listen, that's everywhere. And can I say something this morning without offending anybody? I'm thankful I'm white. You know, that ain't a racist statement. I'm thankful I'm white. I'm a white person. I am. You know, I'm not proud, and I don't think that anybody... I think the preacher over in the black church two or three blocks over, I'll stand up in the pulpit and say, I'm thankful I'm black. Hey, you know what? That's what God made you. And if you're Hispanic, hey, I'm thankful I'm Hispanic. Hey, if you're Asian, I'm thankful I'm Asian. I think you ought to be thankful for what you are, but not full of pride over what you are. You're what God made you. Amen? This whole idea of my race is superior. By the way, we was all made out of the dust of the ground. By the way, hey, God separated them all into different races at the Tower of Babel. God did that. We ain't done a blooming thing to change anything. Amen. You didn't get to pick out what you were. God made you what you were. Amen. And the idea, if some people have, hey, listen, I know there's some people, they say, well, I could never witness to somebody of another color. I wouldn't know how to do that. I'd feel weird or something. Listen, don't let that pride of race get in the way of serving God. Hey, if that was the case, nobody would have ever gone to the dark continent to witness to anybody. Amen? All the missionaries that went to Africa for years and years and years and years and years and years, they'd have never gone if pride of race had got in the way. I got to hurry. We got a lot of sermon to get to. Hey, not only is there pride of face and pride of race, there's pride of place. And at pride of place, I see a man dressed in a little sailor's hat and his sport coat, his little ascot tie or whatever, sipping his martini on his yacht, looking down his nose at somebody. who's having to work for a living, amen, and flaunting wealth. I mean, yeah, that's pride of place. That's, I've arrived, I've made it, I got everything I need in this world, I don't need anything else. I'm better than everybody else. That's pride of place, amen. Those who use their position on their job to abuse or hurt those underneath them. That's pride of place. Hey, I've arrived. I can fire you. I can get you in trouble. I can do anything I want to. Amen. Because I'm better than you. Amen. I got more power. Hey, those any that abuse power. Politicians. Amen. Praise God. Politicians. Hey, that never mind. I don't even want to go there. Now I'm fixing pushy button. What about Southern pride? Now, if somebody play Dixie, I'll hold my hand over my heart. I promise you. I'm thankful to live in the South. I'm thankful. Thank God I'm Southern. Amen. Southern by the grace of God. Amen. There's nothing wrong with that. But when it becomes pride, it's a dangerous thing. And by the way, there's just as much Northern pride as there is Southern pride. Because I know a lot of Northern preachers. Amen. And I can't get in that argument because then my pride will jump up. I don't want that pride, amen? I'm just thankful. You can escape pride by just being thankful, amen? Hey, be thankful for what God's afforded you, amen? Hey, there's Texas pride. Oh, there's a lot of Texas. You know, well, we're from Texas, you know. We're different than everybody else in the world because we're from Texas. I'm thankful I live in Texas. I wouldn't want to live anywhere else, amen? Unless God moves me, that's where I'm going to stay the rest of my life. Amen? Not just in Texas, but Him. This is where I intend to stay. But I'm not prideful about it. Amen? There are those that are. And even Baptist pride. And I really got down to it there. Now you hear me slapping this pulpit. I'm a capital B Baptist. Amen? I'm Baptist born, Baptist bred, and when I die, I'll be Baptist dead. Amen? I'm Baptist. But I'm not prideful about it. I don't think I have any more access to heaven than somebody else in another denomination that got saved the same way I did. Amen. Hey, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Christ is the way, the truth, the life. No man gets in except by... No man cometh unto the Father but by me, is what He said. He's the only way in. It's not through one church or the other. And then there's pride of grace. Pride of grace. Hey, I'm a better Christian than you are. I ain't the kind of person you are. I do better stuff than you. At least I'm not a bad sinner as you are. You remember that guy? Hey, be merciful to me. I'm a sinner. That's what the publican said. And that old Pharisee stood back and he said, Lord, I thank you that I'm not as this publican. He was full of pride. Can I tell you, those who have pride of grace are usually not saved to begin with. They're trying to do something to impress God to get to heaven. Can I tell you this morning, if you're trying to do good works to get to heaven, you're going to fail miserably and you're going to wind up in hell. If you're trying to live a good life and you hope that at the end of your life that God's going to take the scales and weigh them out and go, boy, you just barely made it. No, that's not going to happen. It ain't like that. There ain't one way in. And if you don't come through the blood of Jesus, you don't come at all. Amen? Then there's that idea of God needs me to get things done. God needs me. No, God don't need you. God don't need you at all. If you had never been born, if you'd never existed, it wouldn't make a blip on God's radar as far as His things getting done because God can get things done without you. Hey, listen. If God wanted to, He could make rocks preach the gospel. Amen. Hey, if He wanted to, He could write it in the sky with those clouds He's got up there. Amen. He could do that, but He chose to use His people. Amen. So, understanding that, listen, thank God He chose to use you. You ought to praise God that He even chooses to use you and not get prideful about it. Amen. Now, that's all introduction. I got a message coming. Amen. And I realize that makes some of you uncomfortable because you thought I was preaching. Amen. Well, let's get into it this morning. And I'm not going to do all of it, so you can relax. Take your Bible, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 15. 1 Samuel chapter 15. It was ironic that Katrina this week talked to me about this very subject that I'm talking about, and she didn't know I was preaching on it. And we talked, as a matter of fact, it was yesterday, wasn't it? you asked me about something, and I gave you this exact chapter. And God just works. I love when God does that. When God's putting things I'm preaching about on the minds of people in the church, and the Sunday school lesson just happened to coincide with what we're talking about this morning. And so let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 15, verses 1 through 23. I want to look at some things that pride does. Like I said this morning, I want you to see what pride will do to you. You talk about pride, you say, pride's bad, pride's horrible, pride's evil, God hates pride. You can say all those things, but until you really look at this and say, this is what this is doing to me. I don't want this to happen to me. Until you really examine it, you look at the, like I say, you lift it up and look at the dirty underbelly of it and see what it really is. That's when you'll change. That's when God turns a light on in the house of your life and you say, wow, I got to get this out of here. If you came home, hey, listen, if you came home this afternoon, I'm going to be disgusting and crude for a minute. Y'all just bear with me. If you came home after church and the sewer had backed up in your house, how many of y'all would live with it for a while? Nobody. You'd be getting a hold of somebody real quick with a pump truck. Get this mess out of my house. Can I tell you that having pride in your life is more vile to God than you having sewage in your house? And yet we're comfortable to live with that pride sometimes. Amen. I want to show you what it does. Number one, pride dissipates. Now, I didn't know, that's a big word, but here's what it means. It means it scatters or destroys. It gets rid of what you had. Amen? And I'm going to show you with Samuel. Hey, listen, every one of us that are saved, every child of God in this room, if you've been washed in the blood of Jesus, God has a will and a plan for your life. He has all kinds of things that he wants you to do along this road of life, in order to bring glory to his name, in order to bring other souls into the kingdom of God. God has a plan, and God wants to use you. And I mean, that's amazing in itself. And therefore, not pride, but thankfulness that God wants to use you. And he, in a long, long time ago, way back yonder, Israel cried out for a king, and God heard them, and he answered, and he gave them a king. He gave them King Saul. And he, you know, Samuel was God's man, and Samuel was God's man to King Saul. The Bible says in chapter 15, verse 1, Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore, hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. And by the way, you need to pay attention to that. That's the key. Hearken or listen or pay attention to what God says. Amen? That goes for everybody on the sound of my voice. If you are a child of God, you better listen to the words that God says. All of them, he said. Amen? Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek, another group of people. I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. They had shanghaied the people of Israel. Amen. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy, notice what he says, all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. Now, why did he tell him to do that? He wanted to get rid of all of them. They had come against God. They had defied God. They had been sneaky and done all these, tried to destroy the people of God. And God says, don't just go down there and kill the men. You kill everybody. Get rid of all of them. Wipe them off the planet. Because if you don't, they're going to continue. That's what he was saying. They're going to continue to be a thorn in your side. Get rid of them completely. That's what God said. You say, well, that's harsh. Well, that's God. And God can do what he wants to. Now here's what Saul did. Verse 4, and Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to a city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley. And Saul said unto the Kenites, go, depart, get you down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them, for ye showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. So Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest unto Shur, that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But, now notice here, Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatlings and the lambs and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse, they destroyed utterly. Now, what's wrong? What did he do wrong? What did he not do? He didn't do what God said, did he? He absolutely did it his way. Amen? Verse 10 says, then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, here's what God said, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place and has gone about and passed on and has gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. He came walking up and met Samuel, and he said, hey, blessed be the name of the Lord, I did what the Lord said. No, he didn't. And you know what it is? He was full of pride. He's the new king. He ain't never been a king. He's the first. He's the George Washington of the Israelites, amen? He's the big honcho, amen? Taller than everybody in town. He went off, and he fought the war. It was him risking his own neck. He went and fought the battle, and he did it his way. And he came back, and he said, I did what he told me to do. I got rid of him. And Samuel said, what meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in my ears? If you did what God said, how come I hear sheep? He said, in the lowing of oxen, which I hear cows moving, I hear sheep back. What is going on here? And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites. For the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen, get this, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God. I think they were thinking about crown rib roasts and other things like that. Amen. I believe that was what was really more on their mind than anything else. Amen. But that's what he tried. He tried to spin it to make himself look better, because that's what pride will do to you. Amen. Hey, he said they brought them. He said, and to sacrifice to the Lord, and the rest have we utterly destroyed. Now, we got rid of all the bad sheep now. We got rid of the ugly ones. We got rid of the ones with deformities. Got rid of the ones that wasn't pure. We brought all the good ones back. Then Samuel said unto the Lord, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord has said to me this night. And he said unto him, say on. And Samuel said, now listen to this, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? There's the key to it right there. When you wasn't nothing, well, just no farm boy. Hey, God anointed you and raised you up. You didn't do this. You didn't get that power. You didn't conquer and get it. God gave it to you. Hey, it's just like the pride of life. Who are we to take pride over anything? Everything we have comes from the Lord. As Christians, as Americans, everything we have is a blessing from God. You say, well, I worked for it. Well, you couldn't have worked if God hadn't given you strength. Well, I'm smart. Well, who put that brain in your head? Hallelujah. There ain't nothing any of us have anything to be proud of. Well, I have a beautiful, not me, but somebody might say, well, I have a beautiful head of hair. Isn't it pretty? Well, who made the hair grow? Well, I have beautiful eyes. Well, who put them in your eye sockets? Amen. Samuel said in verse 18, he said, the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sin sinners and the Amalekites and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil and didst evil in the sight of the Lord. It's evil in the sight of the Lord to do something other than what he said. It's disobedience. I tell my kid to go take the trash out, and he listen, and he's bad to do it. Where'd he go? Is he here? Probably went to the bathroom hiding from me. Amen. Hey, listen, I tell him to go to the trash, take trash out, find him 15 minutes, 30 minutes later, sitting on the floor playing with the dog. Take trash out? I was going to. That ain't doing what I said, though, is it? That ain't what she said either, is it, Sam? You do the same thing, don't you? I guarantee you. Find you a mile down the road. Where are you going? Oh, I went down there to do it. Well, didn't I tell you? We forget, don't we? No, it's we do what we want to do. That's what it is. Amen. Somebody here all say amen, got kids. We know it's the truth. That's what they do. You know why? Because they got pride in them. They do what they want. Remember? Hey, the lust of the flesh. I want to do this. I want to do that. I want to do this. I want to do that. I want to do what I want to do. Amen. But the people took the spoil. Hey, all right, let's get through this. Hey, so verse 20, Saul said to Samuel, "Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. I have gone the way which the Lord sent me. I have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, it is better than sacrifice. To obey is better than sacrifice. To obey is better than sacrifice." Get that through your head. To obey God is better than anything you can do to work, any works that you can provide to God. God don't care how much, you're not going to impress him. There ain't a thing you've ever done that's impressed God. Do we have this pride, enough pride to think that we're better Christians than those who came before us? Do you really think we're better Christians than those three generations ago? I don't think we're anywhere close. Four, five, six generations ago? Six, I'm back to the early settlers of this country. I'm going to tell you something. Them were some Christians there. Them were some hard-nosed, dig-the-heels-in, ain't-going-nowhere Christians. We ain't nothing compared to them. God's not looking for you to impress him. God's looking for you to obey him. I got so much more, I can't finish it all. I'm gonna get done in a minute. I'm going to give you one more point, and I'll let you go, and I want you to come back tonight. But listen to what I'm saying. Don't miss this. This is important. Verse 22 and 23, he said, "For to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken," in other words, to listen to what God said, "than the fat of lambs." God don't want all them sacrifices. God owns cattle on a thousand hills. He knows where all the sheep is. He can provide all that. He wants somebody to yield to his will. He said, "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft." Don't miss that. Don't miss what God said. Rebellion. He said, I'm not going to rebel against God. But pay attention now. If you're living your life to do what you want to do and you're ignoring what God wants you to do, and let me be careful when I say this. You be careful to hear what I'm going to say. Somebody may be thinking to themselves, well, I don't know what God wants me to do. Let me rephrase it. If you're doing what you want to do and seeking to do what you want to do with your life, and you're not seeking to find out what God wants you to do with your life, you're ignoring God and living in rebellion. That's hard to hear, but that's the truth. That's the honest-to-God truth. If you are not, let me say it again so you don't miss what I'm saying. If you're a being created by God, for God, for his pleasure, and if you are not letting him do with you what he pleases, you are rebelling against him. Simple as that. If you don't know, you ought to be seeking. You ought to be dug in and looking to see what God wants you to do with your life. Because he says rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Isn't that what Lucifer did? When he fell, he became Satan. Hey, God had something he wanted him to do. And Lucifer said, well, you know what? I want to be God. And so God cast him out of heaven, and he became Satan. Why? Because he wanted to do what he wanted to do. He thought he was more important than God. And that's exactly what people do when they go about their lives, is if God doesn't matter. Amen. I won't get a whole lot of amens on that because that hurts. Amen. I'm going to give you one more and we'll go to the house. I got six of these. I think it's a three-parter. Pride, not only does pride dissipate or destroy, and by the way, King Saul lost his kingship because of his rebellion. He lost his position as king over Israel. His power, God, here, let me tell you something. God took his hand off Saul when Saul rebelled against him. God took his power off Saul. And when we go about our life doing what we want to do and refusing God and refusing to let God have us and do what he wants to do with our life, God take his hand off us too. I'm going to tell you something. It's a lonely life without God's power. It's a scary life without God's power. Because you're going to face the same kind of troubles. As a matter of fact, you're probably going to face worse ones because God's going to be whooping you to get your attention. And to try to get through those things without God, what a miserable life. Saul lost that. He lost favor. He lost blessing. He lost everything and eventually lost his life in the course of it. He lived a life of jealousy and bitterness. Started out with glory. Everybody, oh, hail the king of Israel. And then he was brought low because of his pride. Number two, pride aggravates. Oh, it aggravates. The Bible says in Proverbs 13:10, only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Now let's look at that statement for a second. Only by pride cometh contention. I think we can shift those words just a little bit and make more sense out of that. The only thing that comes from pride is contention. Contention, fighting, arguing. Amen? Strife. See, pride doesn't care who it steps on to get what it wants. It doesn't care who it ridicules. I remember high school. Well, high school's terrible. Any y'all in school? It's horrible, isn't it? The way people treat one another. Hey, the popular crowd, the way they treat the rest of them. Hey, isn't it horrible, Chelsea? I'm telling you. I mean, I remember high school. I stayed out of the way, everybody. I just kind of moved through the shadows over there. I didn't pay no attention to everybody. I wasn't worried about it, amen. But there are those who seek popularity. They want to be the best and the top of the tops. They want to be the most popular. They want to be everything. And some of them are genuine. Some of them are good people. Hey, I'm not knocking everybody who has a good personality and everybody likes. There's nothing wrong with that. But there are those who will do whatever they got to do to get to that place. They'll step on somebody. They'll ridicule somebody. They'll crush somebody's dreams to get what they want. I'm not talking about high school. I'm talking about all through life, whether it be a job, whether it be a person, whether it be somebody who wants somebody else is in a relationship with, and they'll do whatever they got to do to ruin it because of pride, because of lust. They'll use people, abuse people, all to get to the first of the line. That's what pride will do. Pride aggravates. Pride stirs up. Pride causes problems. Listen, all it ever causes is arguing and fighting. The strife caused by pride will remove all peace from your life. Boy, it's quiet in here. It'll take all the peace because, listen, the only thing that comes is contention. You ever heard anybody say that? Well, we just go from one problem to the next in our life, and they're always griping, always fussing. So much, why have I got all this drama? Why? Anybody have Facebook friends like that? Hello. Well, if we could step into Facebook and I could set up a pulpit, man, I'd have an audience there. Amen. Can't do that, though. Amen. That's why y'all got to take it where you're going. Amen. That's why I'm spooning it out to y'all. Y'all get a saucer full, take it and throw it on everybody else and come back and get some more. Amen. Don't spill it on the way out. Don't hit the threshold and spill it on the steps. Amen. Take it to somebody else. But it will. It'll remove all the peace from your life. And it'll be nothing but drama, nothing but problems, nothing. And they'll just gripe and whine and gripe and whine and do whatever they got to do to hurt somebody else to make themselves feel better. That's what pride does. And when you humble yourself and you get the peace of God, then you don't have to live like that. Amen? When you come to God with it, you give it to God, and you realize you ain't what you thought you were. You're not all that in a bag of chips. Amen? Praise God. You're not the best of everything. You're not the prettiest. It doesn't matter. You're worth something to God. That's what matters. Hallelujah. I mean, y'all ever watch reality TV? That's all it is, a bunch of arguing and fussing and carrying on and griping and strife. Why is that? It's because them people are full of pride, that's why. Why do my kids argue? Why do your kids argue? I never heard such arguing in my life. Get our kids all around the table, they start picking each other apart. I mean, just tearing one. And I'm getting copies. My kids ain't here this morning. I told my wife, she ain't here this morning. I said, everybody's getting a copy of this one, and we're going to sit around and listen to it. Amen. She's listening? Good. Amen. We all need this. We all need it. Listen to me. We'll sit and tear each other, shred one another, assassinate one another's character, and we say we love one another? How do we... Y'all sitting right here, and y'all the ones I need to be talking to. See, my kids ain't here. Amen. Why do you say stuff to her like you do and tear her apart? Why do you say horrible things to him? Huh? Why do you say bad things? I just want to get you there. I'd say, use amen, and I was going to throw you in the fray. Amen. Amen. It aggravates. It causes problems. Cause problems to your children, cause problems to your marriage, cause problems on your job, cause problems at school. It causes nothing but problems. It aggravates. Pride. Folks, I ain't got time to finish this message. I ain't got time at all. But I want to share one more with you, and I'm done. I'll be quick. Pride. Here's a big word. I didn't know what it meant. I had to look it up. It enervates. And y'all know what that word means? I tell you, a dentist to do that when he does a root canal. He enervates. He goes in there and takes the nerve out. You take the nerve out of something, it loses feeling, doesn't it? Pride enervates. It deprives of strength or vitality. It weakens physically or mentally or debilitates. That's what the word enervate means. It just sucks the life out. And that's what pride does, folks. That's what it does to us. The Bible says in Proverbs 29:23, a man's pride shall bring him low. Pride takes the soul out of humility. Hey, listen, you can't be humble. You can fake humility. There's a lot of people do that. Fake, that's what it's saying. If you're full of pride, the only humility you can come up with is soulless humility, a fakeness. Ain't nothing, hey, listen, there's nothing I despise more than being around somebody that's fake. Amen? Don't y'all feel that same way? When you know they're being fake, and you're just like, why are you doing that? You're lying to me. You're fronting. You're putting on a front for me. Don't do that to me. Be yourself. You want to be ugly, be ugly. Don't fake some niceness to me. Amen? I can't stand that. Amen? I know you say, well, you can't say something good. Don't say nothing at all. You're right. But don't fake it. Amen? But it takes the soul out. What does it do? It takes the brightness out of your joy. Amen? Listen, a Christian's supposed to be full of joy. But when you're full of pride, there is nothing but destruction in your life. There's nothing but turmoil in your life. And it sucks the brightness plumb out of your joy. You can't enjoy being saved. You can't enjoy church. You can't enjoy your Bible. You can't enjoy fellowship with other Christians. Why? Because of your pride. It takes the life out of a love for Christ. The only way a person can love the Lord is with humility. Amen. What do we have to boast about? For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. Not of works. It's the gift of God. Amen. Not of works, lest any man should boast. If it was me, if it was you, if there was anything that we could do to save ourselves, we'd brag. Man, we'd get to heaven, we'd say, well, ain't no wonder I'm up here. Man, look how good I was. I lived a good life. James, I lived a good life. Man, if anybody deserved to be up here as me. How'd you get here? You wasn't as good as me. Man, I can't believe you got in. Bad as you were. Hey, how could you enjoy heaven if that's the way it was? Praise God. Listen, it'll suck the life out of your love for Christ. You have to humble yourself. And when you realize that you ain't deserve nothing, there ain't a single person that's saved that deserved to be saved. There ain't a single person alive that deserved one drop of Christ's blood. It was freely given. It was given to us. Hey, He poured His blood out for us. He shed His blood. He died for us. Not because we deserve any of it. We have nothing to glory in except for the fact that He died for us. It will take the love out of the life out of your love for Christ. It'll take the fervor out of your zeal. Listen, when you first get saved, there's a honeymoon period with Christ. It's just like when two people first get married. It's boom. There's this honeymoon period, but that tapers off, don't it? And real life sinks in. And there ain't the, you know, let's rush out and go on a date every 2 or 3 days. Why? Because you've kind of got used to things. But boy, when you get pride in your life, I mean, listen, and I know we need to get that fire stirred up for serving the Lord. I'm all for that. But when you've got pride in your life, it just sucks that out. And you gotta make it up. You gotta manufacture it. You can't manufacture that. No, pride will take it out. It takes the grip out of your faith. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying you can't be the Christian with pride in your life that God wants you to be. There's no way. It takes the reality out of your character. It changes you into a phony, a fake. That's what it makes you. It takes the life out of it. It takes the realness out of being a Christian. Now, I'm going to say to you this morning, when you preach a message like this, and you come down to the invitation time, people start having these kind of thoughts. Well, if I went down there this morning, somebody would think I'm full of pride. I'm not going down there. Can I tell you something? There ain't a single person in this room ain't got pride. Ain't a single person in this room doesn't have some pride that needs to be dealt with. Every person sucking in oxygen, blowing out carbon dioxide, needs this message. Amen? And if God has shown you something in your life, it would look a whole lot better if there was, and I'm not saying come because I said so, but I'm saying it'd look a whole lot better if there was a bunch down here and a few back there than it would if there was a few down here and a bunch back there. You know why? Because you may be too prideful to come down here and say, Lord, I'm humbling myself before you. That's the reason why we have these invitations and we have mourner's benches and we have places around here where you can come and kneel before God. See, it's hard sometimes for some people to kneel because not because of their physical limitations, but because of their pride. I'm telling you this morning, old and young, big and little, male and female, if God's dealt with you about your pride this morning, bring it, confess it, forsake it, get rid of it. Don't say, God, oh, I'm sorry, please forgive me, and go sit down. Listen, confess it. That means, Lord, I'm guilty. It's me. I did it. And forsake it. I'm leaving it with you, and I'm not taking it back to the pew with me. God can do that in your life and set you free from it. Let's stand together. Our Father, Lord, we love you. And Lord, we are so thankful for the Word of God. We're so thankful, Lord, that, Lord, you will forgive us and you will cleanse us and you will renew a right spirit within us. Lord, the Bible tells us that you will. Oh, God, I pray this morning that even now folks are feeling an urging in their chest, Lord, to come and to kneel and get all this stuff out and get it confessed. And, Lord, get things back right between themselves and you. Father, please Bless this invitation. Bless, Lord, the message that's been preached. I pray, Lord, you work in hearts even now. Bless them. In Jesus' name, amen.